The word of God is not to lift us up in religious pride, but it's to teach us to walk by faith and to serve. And so, Lord, we thank you now for this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, today our title that we're going to look at and discuss is Want or Need? Want or Need? And we're going to base this from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And most of us probably know this, and probably many of us have got this underlined. But I wonder really how much of it we do actually know. And that is the point. And it says here, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And then he goes on, "Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." So my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, we live in a world and a society that encourages you to get what you want. It is all about your self-life, your image, you. It is about your happiness. It is about your future. It is about what you can get out of life. And that's how we've been taught. That is what is taught in education, in university, philosophy, psychology, whatever it may be, that is what is taught today. It is the promotion of the self-life. Each promotes it. That is the spirit of this age. And of course, it's up through the news. There is much more that it emphasizes about the promotion of self. Get what you want. Get it while you can. Get it for you. So we live in an age that encourages you to get what you want. We are asked at times what we want for our birthday. We're asked at times what we want, if you celebrate it, for Christmas. And we say it to our children maybe. We may say it to our wife, to our husband. What do you want for your birthday? I'm sure the reply never comes back. It's not what I want, it's what I need. You see, we're still not there yet, are we? Because God is more interested in what we need. And that is the emphasis that I want to place today. We find ourselves regularly going shopping, don't we? And very often we see something that we want. But do we find ourselves saying, "Lord, is that what I need?" Because my Bible tells me that it's what we need that glorifies him. It talks about our needs, which he supplies, and he supplies them according to his riches in glory. And we need to learn what are his riches in glory. And that is why we need to become kingdom-minded. This is why we need to learn the Word of God, because otherwise we find ourselves becoming very despondent and very disappointed. And many in our circles over the years have joined or come into this for the wrong reasons and the wrong motives. They have always liked about the deeper life the prosperity side of it. And the prosperity side of it could include the healing as well. What I want, what I'm going to get out of it. And it particularly appeals to those who maybe have come out of a background where they have been poor, they have not had maybe what a lot of others have had in the world and in society, so it would appeal even more that they're coming into something where I'm now going to start to prosper. I'm now going to start to have those things that I didn't get when I was a child, or, you know, as a teenager, or we came out of, or you name it. It's so easy to come into this prosperity walk with the wrong reasons and the wrong motives. And that is why I'm basing this today, because this is about God's riches and glory that are to be found in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And unless you receive these things by revelation, by the Word of God, you will not understand. And so in time, you are going to find yourself resentful toward God. You are going to start to fall into the enemy's trap where he's going to suggest to you God is a meanie and he doesn't give you what you want, and so it goes on, and in the end you find yourself either going back into the world or compromising and finding some other church is going to minister to you what you want to hear instead. And that's why I'm addressing this subject today. I haven't forgotten the title, Want or Need? Philippians 4:19. Now if we are given into this I want syndrome of today, then it is inevitable you grow up selfish. That is always the end result of what I want and what I'm going to get. You become selfish. And selfish people are also an ungrateful people. Selfish people, the I want syndrome, are spoiled. And inevitably they are in time difficult to live with. Marriages are breaking up today because of this I want syndrome. And so they find that the husband or the wife isn't providing and giving to me what I want. Not about what I need, but what I want. Failing to see that in relationship, as well as our relationship with God, what we need is love.
Amen.
To know that we're loved and cherished. That is what we need. We need to know that God loves us, and we need to know that we love Him. Because everything is built then upon that. I have need of God. I don't want God. I need God. It is based on your need. Too many come to God because I want it. And that mentality you'll find doesn't last. I'm in need of God because I have sinned. I am wretched. I am miserable. And I am on my way to hell. And so, when you start to think, oh well, I want God. It makes it cheap. I'm in need of His mercy and grace.
Yes,
and therefore, His provisions, as we have read there, according to His riches in glory, He has granted and given me and you the gift of salvation. It puts it in a completely different sphere.
Thank you, Jesus.
Does it not? It stops us then being selfish, ungrateful, spoiled, inward-looking, always consumed about self and me and what I am going through. It starts to deliver us so that we can be what overcomers should be, and that is to be servants in which to serve. It's interesting with the disciples, and you look at them, their lives, and you look at the Apostle Peter. Up until they receive the Holy Spirit, they are basically consumed in themselves and their wants. And it comes out, the weakness came out because they were not to be found when Jesus was handed over for crucifixion. It wasn't until they had received the blessed Comforter, the Holy Spirit, bringing Christ into their lives, did you see the rapid change. And it is the same for us. It is not until we receive the baptism of the Spirit do we then begin to realize, instead of seeing what we want, it is what is needed. What is needed today in my life? Not what I want when I face the day, but it's what I need, which are for His riches, for His glory. Because that is what glorifies Him. You see, the problem is because of the I want syndrome, and because it makes us difficult to live with in the end, which spoiled people are, what does that then in return begin to open up? Well, very often it brings anger, mood swings, reactions. It starts to open up in depression and even eventually possibly suicide. Now, these are all characteristics in society today, and doctors, psychologists would absolutely agree with me on this. This is all on the increase. And most of these mental depressions that we have are based, if you go right back to the root of it, it's what I want, instead of seeing what I need. And so, because I want what it is, man will do whatever he can to get it. The first murder was really on the basis, I want to be recognized. I want to be accepted by God, because God didn't accept that offering from Cain. And so as a result of it, he reacted in anger and slew his brother. There's the first sin. Because he failed to see what he needed. And what he needed to do was to offer the very best offering to God that would accept him. Accept it. Whereas Abel saw his needs before God. He saw his need of reconciliation. He saw his need of being right, being made right with God. And so he was prepared to pay the cost in order for that reconciliation, whereas Cain wasn't. And that is what it does. And so fundamentally, it makes you your own worst enemy. What is promoted so much today in society makes man, woman, their own worst enemy. Hence the depression. Hence the rejection, the reactions, the mood swings. This is why we're seeing an increase today, and we hear it in the news of these terrible atrocities and things going on, murders every day. You name it. Is it getting any better? No. Police can't even cope with it. They try and pass these quick laws to try and deal with these problems in society, but they can't be policed. So much law today that's been passed is a joke. And society so gears and emphasizes towards this self-life, this self-promotion, building the self, life, and ego up. It's everywhere. Everywhere. I see it when I go to the gym. I see people there literally driven in exercise to try and make themselves look better and look good, or to build up the self-ego. And there are some of them, and sadly it's with the men. And I watch them when they walk into the gym. They're upright, they're like peacocks. And the first thing they do, they go straight to the mirror and look at themselves. And when nobody's looking, they like to lift up their t-shirt to have a look at the abs and everything and see how the stomach's doing. You watch it. You know, that's just one thing. Thinking they have eternal life, thinking that they're going to take that body with them into eternity. They can't accept the fact that we're getting older every day. That is the age and spirit that God, the good message of the Word of God is, that we're sojourners and you're now just passing through, because this isn't your home. We live in a fallen world. Why do you want to be part of it still? This is why the cross has come, that we are to daily take up and follow Christ, is to separate us from this world and the spirit of this world that tries to feed the self-ego, the you. And it works in so many subtle ways. It's in everything. You pick up a magazine, you read the paper, the adverts, whatever it is, 9 times out of 10, is everything to minister and cater for you so that you will feel better. Now, I am not saying that God can't bless, because I'm going to talk about that. But I'm showing first the negative side, in which then to show the positive side. Against prosperity. I am not against blessings. But these blessings that God, that which we, and God isn't going to give us anything that we need that is going to be a hindrance in stopping us growing and maturing into sonship. So we need to accept that one. And so God doesn't give into our wants, but he's going to supply your needs. You see, he would give if you need, for example, a pair of shoes. A pair of shoes is a very practical thing. We need to walk in shoes because we have the roads are very uncomfortable. You try and walk on the roads without your shoes on, you'll have blisters upon blisters. So we all need shoes. The question is, how many pair of shoes do you need? That is always the question. And this is where we all have to say, oops, sorry, Lord. You know? Now, I didn't say that you have one pair of shoes. But I think there's something wrong when you start to see in your wardrobe 30, 40, 50 pair assures. And some of us might laugh at that, but that is for many the norm. That is not uncommon. Not uncommon. Now, you might find shoes don't wear out. Some people are heavy on shoes, others are not. The point I'm saying is, I'm using shoes, I don't know why we're on shoes, but Lord knows. The point is, when you go out shopping, do you find yourself, oh, I want those, oh, I want those. Everywhere you see a shoe shop, I want those, I must have those. That is showing a problem. That is showing that you are not understanding prosperity. You don't need it. And that can be a hindrance when, if we take the prosperity teaching in the wrong way, and many Christians, they don't break through financially. This is why the powers of darkness are there, to hinder and thwart those things that you do need. Sometimes that can be a hindrance. And that can apply to anything where we have this I want mentality. I must have it. Only to find that when you've got it, the lust within you wants in something else. It's never satisfying. That is the point. You can never satisfy that demon of I want. It always wants more. Gamblers are held by that demon. And so it goes on. It's addictive. It's addictive. Now God is going to supply our needs. He's going to give you a house, because we have need of living in a house. Now some of us may say, but I haven't got a house. Ah, but at the moment you are low, and that is what you need. And it will move. The right time, God will bless us, because he said he will bless us with houses and lands, brethren, and with persecutions, and eternal life. He's promised that in his word. He will give you a job. It's right that man should work, and work with his hands. And many have need of it. So he says he will do it, if you put the kingdom of God first. Food. God says he will feed us. But it depends how far we go with this feeding. Because we have this obsession today of food. Every program on the television each day, there's a food program of some sort. Telling you that's what you need. Half of it. And it's not to say that God can't bless us. And it's nice sometimes to try something different. So don't get me wrong. But there is this obsession to them. There is this snobbery. Oh, I've got to have the very best. It is. It's promoted by it. People are ashamed when they have a shopping bag and it's got a name on it. They're very proud if it's from Waitrose or Marks and Spencer's, but they'll hide it if it's from somewhere else. It goes on. It goes on. Where does this all come from? How do we pick up this stuff? See? It's all about elevating the self, me, the ego. Same with clothes. You name it. People will only wear designer clothes, designer labels. Well, I've got news for you, friends. Most of this designer stuff is made in Taiwan, China, you name it. They're not originals you buy today. It's a con. And people fall for it. Jesus said, didn't he, in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we have to take all it together to see our prosperity and our blessings. Now, in the prosperity message and teaching, we have such scriptures as, for example, Psalm 37, and verse 4. Let's go from verse 3. Trust, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, I've heard that many times given to me to justify sometimes why they've got what they've got. And I've known in my heart sometimes that's not been given by God. God has allowed that because he's let him have that to try and teach them what it really is all about. You see, you've got to take everything into context. It says, trust in the Lord. What's the next bit it says? And do good. Don't hear that one. But it means do good. What does it mean to do good? It means to obey. Do good. Obey. Dwell in the land. Dwell. Stay where you are. Stay where God has baptized you into the body. To be fair, to stay, remain. Instead of roaming around from one church to the other, which so many Christians do. It says, dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. So those desires of your heart come as a result of obedience, relationship, faithfulness. His faithfulness. You see. And he then begins to wish those desires within your heart.
Amen.
And if you look at those desires in your heart, then they don't come out of what I want. They're contrary. You see them then in a different light. Because it's glorifying the Lord, you see. But the enemy's used that one in the faith and prosperity teaching. How about Job? Let's turn to Job 22. Job chapter 22 and verse 21. Now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. Be at peace, come to you. Is that not good? Is that not what we need? I need that. Good? There's nothing wrong with that. And that's what God was teaching Job through his trials, through his tests. And remember that Job was a rich man. He had wealth. And for a season he lost most of it. And God doubly rewarded him, as we know, in the end. How about Psalm 145? Psalm 145, verses 14 to 20. Psalm 145, verses 14 to 20. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious, near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him. Why don't we take everything in context? Instead of taking one verse out, which we like to quote, "Oh, God gives me the desires of my heart," which we read in Psalm 37. Well, let's look a little bit more of what those desires really are all about. Because desires is a very strong thing. And there are many things we desire wrongly. So I've just read to you there, and we'll just break it down again and we'll look at it. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. So he's the one that raises us up, protects us, preserves us, keeps us. He says the eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in our food, because our eyes are on who? The Lord. Not on someone else or some brother or sister in the body who will supply my needs. The eyes of the Lord, supplying and giving. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. So God opens his hands because he's gracious, he's loving, he's giving. He gives you those needs that you have. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. Without grace, none of us will be here today. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in, what's that word?
Truth.
Now come on, brothers and sisters, we don't always call on him in truth. And that is a fact. Sometimes we've got it wrong. The motives are wrong. So it can't be in truth. And we wonder why it doesn't happen. And then we get all resentful and angry, and you know it, we throw a pattern. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. See? They come out, those key words come out. Those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him. There's the key words. It doesn't take a lot of revelation, does it, to understand the word of God? Sometimes God's made his word so easy to embrace and take, that's why we miss it. Because we approach it with the wrong desires.
Yeah.
We approach it because I want this, Lord, and you are going to give it to me because you're faithful. You can't work with God that way. And let me say this in passing, never bring your children up that way either. Your children are going to want a lot of things from you as parents. But for Christian parents, I'm going to give you what you need. And there's a fundamental difference. Many parents have gone so wrong with their children on this. Children do not know what they want at that age. Most of the time they don't. And if you were to give in to them, oh, they'd make shipwreck their lives. Literally. We just don't see. And so as our needs are supplied, so God begins to dig. He shows what our needs are. And when you begin to see what the needs are, that is then you can pray confidently. You can pray the prayer of faith. You can pray believing. Because faith is present. So often we pray the prayer of faith because it's what we want. And that's why it doesn't work. See? It isn't about God's riches, about his glory. As we appropriate the word of God, as we read the promises of God, we see the need factor that is there, not the I want. I want to be healed. And so God will heal me. Instead of, Lord, I have need of healing. I can't walk. I can't see. Have mercy on me, Lord. I don't know about you, but that puts it in a completely different sphere, does it not? Jesus revealed the principles of needs. Let's turn to Matthew 7. We all know this very well. Matthew 7, verses 7 to 11. Matthew 7, 7 to 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man whom, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Now, again, this can be so often misinterpreted and brought out of the wrong context. Well, I'm knocking, and that's what I'm told to do. I'm told to be persistent and knock and knock and knock, and eventually I will tar him and he will open the door. But your knocking is, it's because I want it. It's not about the fact that it is needed. And that makes a big difference. And when you get it right, then you will find that it is there. You will find that it is a true knocking. It isn't a knocking you trying to do it. It's prevailing in the courts of heaven. Those knocks are being heard by the Father, who will not turn his ear against it. You know that faith is there. You know that confidence leading you, guiding you, keeping you going. Because we can't do any of these things in our own flesh. It's the same as an intercessor. An intercessor can't pray and pray until it's birthed through unless the Spirit goes before first. You can't do it in your own strength. None of these things can be done in our own strength. Your needs are birthed by revelation. Wants are birthed by human pride and intellect. They come from two different sources. Wants comes from the world, the flesh. Need comes by the Spirit of God. There's a difference. You see, these needs, these desires, come out of a walk and a relationship with Christ. Yes, I believe in the abundant life. I believe in blessings. But all my blessings, all the abundant life, everything that we have, I have, this church has and will have, comes as a result of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He put it in there first. My desires before God didn't come from me. He put them there. Because he is my desire. That is the difference. And you see, the problem that we have is that we think we are walking in obedience with him. And we're not always. I have need of walking in obedience before him. Yes. It won't come because I want to walk in obedience. I do, Don't get me wrong, but unless it is the desire to walk in obedience, I'm never going to fulfill it. And he gives us the desires of our heart. So God has got to put that revelation of obeying him first into our hearts before we desire it. As it's going to come in the wrong way. You see, religious people want to obey God. Religious people want to serve God. Religious people want to go to church every Sunday. Religious people want to do good works to please God. Can you see the difference? The true believer desires so much deeper, so much more meaningful. The desire of my heart, because it's birthed by the Spirit. It's not anything that I can conjure up. This desires of the heart that are given by the Spirit never elevate the flesh, but always give glory to God, because they're according to his riches in glory that we have read in Philippians 4. There's the difference. So you see, my prayers at times are not answered because it's telling me something else. And what we have in the way of blessings should glorify him. But do all blessings, quote unquote, do they glorify the Lord? That is, only time will tell. Because I'm going to tell you something. If doors are opening your life, there's somebody else who can do a false blessing. And it's the God of this world. And he's very clever at doing it. So we need to know the source. We need to know. We need to ask him, Lord, is this your blessing from you, or has this come from a different source? Because if it is, I don't want it. I don't want it. Because it will be corrupt. It will bring nothing but misery, unhappiness. Many Christians are going to lose rewards from their sowing in this life because they want the wrong things. Your needs are an eternal principle. Needs will bring rewards in glory. And that's why I want us and those brothers sisters who come in the room today, I want us to be, the Word of God tells us to test yourself, examine yourself, whether you're in the faith. That's what Corinthians tells us to do. Sometimes we have to just be honest with God. What I have, has this come about because I want it, or is it because of needs? There's a fundamental difference. Now, God, I've already given it out. God says that he gives the desires of our heart. And the desires of our heart have come about through our walk and relationship with God. And I want to say, I might add, that the desires of one's heart don't necessarily come just overnight. And don't necessarily come when you are just born again. It comes out of a life and a walk with God. And you find those desires start to birth there. They start to let you know. And you know that that's God going to bless. Some people have a desire to help people. So that desire increases. There are ministries of mercy and giving and helps. But a lot of that is moved, you're inspired by that, because the desire to do that is within. You see. This is why we have different gifts in this church. But a lot of those gifts that make you move into those gifts come about as a desire, a want, a need in a sense that glorifies God. This comes from his riches, his sources that empowers those desires. Do you have to see that? Desires have to be empowered, blessed. Wrong desires are of the world, are of the God of this world. And no blessing to them, you see. And we are tempted with wrong desires. I want. King David was tempted on desire, a want for her. And as a result of that, he had to walk that out the rest of his life. He was forgiven. And that was a bad sin, what he committed. Not just the fornication, but the lying, the deception. Behind all of that, what he planned until the prophet came and related the story, and then his eyes were open to see he was the one. And he was justified and made right on the basis of not blaming God, not blaming God that he happened to go out on the balcony just at that time and that beautiful woman was there. No, I have sinned. I have fallen short. I am to blame. See? What was he doing? He was raising the white flag. I am guilty. Do whatever you see fit. There's nothing more I can do. And as a result of that, he was justified. This is why I say, when you come to the end of yourself, when you, like your world is caving in, when everything has gone from bad to worse, surrender. Raise that white flag. Declare bankruptcy. That's what things gone wrong. There's nothing more you can do. You have to declare bankruptcy. How come Christians never do that spiritually before God? That's why there'd be such torment in hell. Because there'd be many who are made right. What a shame, eh? It's humbling oneself. It's bowing the knee. And that's why God in his mercy and grace brings us to the end of ourselves. Because that's what he's trying to see you should really desire. Is to get right with God. You've got different wrong wants and desires, you see. What does James say about it? You have not because you ask not. You're asking for the wrong things. He has much to say about that. And this is why the devil has really fouled up the message of prosperity. You know, I soon learnt about the failures of prosperity and its teaching. And I'm not against it because it's there in the Word of God. But my eyes were open to that when I was first invited to go and preach in Africa. And I went to Zimbabwe. And I hadn't been there above 3 days. And I realized that this prosperity that I was to teach, claim it, name it, and claim it, and all this business. I thought, where do you start with this? People, the claim a washing machine when they don't even have electricity. What do they need first? A washing machine, or do they need power lines to give them electricity? What's the more important? Getting my point? That's what I was encountering. Many things like that. And like it always often is, and I know Brother Bob will back me up with this, you find you go there to teach them, and you're finding they're teaching you. It somehow begins to put everything into perspective, balances it. And you go back to the drawing board, you go back to the Word of God, you go back to repent. Lord, I didn't see it, but now I do. You see? That's why the body of Christ is so wonderful at ministering one to another. If you're open and humble before God, you can learn so much from your brother, your sister. They can teach you so much. in the way they are, the way they act, what they do. Many times I have seen things come out of you and I have said, Lord, I have need of that. I'm wanting. I want that in my life to glorify you. Because God has opened my eyes to see that. You see? Are we too proud to learn from one another? I hope not. That's how we grow. That's how we grow in the body of Christ. That's why each one of you are a gift. You're a gift. You're a gift to me. Because that gift that God has given has enabled me, helped me, that my life can be better in Christ. Without you, I wouldn't be where I am. Because my eyes couldn't be opened otherwise. Have you ever thought about that? It's worth thinking. Again, it puts everything in a different light, doesn't it? Why? Because we have need of it. So that's why I've talked today, want or need. You can decide on that. You can choose which way you want to go. I know which way I'm going with it. Because God doesn't give to those wants. He gives to those needs. But you know something? Those needs are more blessed than you think. This need, you know, it's not really going to give me much what I want, is it? Oh, come on. Our God and Father is so generous, so gracious. His whole nature is to give. And to give in abundance. Sometimes when God gives, you think, oh, you know, it just doesn't stop sometimes. You know? But then we know what these blessings are for. To also share with others where you see the needs. You see? You know those beggars out in the street and you see them, and I'm going to tell you something. You are going to see more and more people begging on the streets, on the roads. Not just London. You are going to see in your own towns and your own villages. It's going to get worse. The question is, those that beg, what do they need? When Jesus met the needs, see, I said it already, of the people, it was their needs, not what they wanted. And that is why the Spirit didn't always lead Jesus to many who were in want or need. No. There were many that didn't get healed. There were many that didn't have their bellies filled. But there were also many that did. And even Jesus challenged them, what are you wanting? What are you here for? What do you really need? And those who saw it, they saw the need of Jesus. Others just went away because they wanted something different. That is how you present the gospel. That is how you present Christ. Preaching and teaching of the kingdom of God. Repent. Do you need the kingdom or not? It's not about what you want. It's about your need. And your need is forgiveness. Amen. Father, thank you today, again today. Thank you, Lord. We all need to hear this. It brings everything back in focus. When things become a little bit distant, when we don't see as we should be seeing, things go out of focus. You have a way, Lord, of just sometimes choosing a word, and that word need, to bring us back to a stand and relationship with you. I thank you, Father, for the power of words. How words, your word, can change us. All of us can be tried and tested with this. And those wants, Lord, we don't have to go and work them up. They're just naturally there. But to the needs, That is something we have to work at, wait upon, as it's revealed to us. And so, Lord, I thank you today for this. I thank you for this message. I pray you'll be with us, bless us, preserve us, and keep us all until we assemble again, Father, for we ask this in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray you'll bless our brothers and sisters who have joined us in the room today as well. Keep them covered by the blood of the Lamb, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.